My name is Mike Kokoris. I am pastor of the Lindley Church in Tarzana, California. What follows is a brief explanation, it takes about 15 minutes, of what I consider to be the most important question in life. The question is simply this: do you know for sure that you are going to heaven? If you are like most folks I know, your answer will probably be something like, well, I hope so. I've done some good things, and so I think I have a crack at the pearly gates. Or you may say, I think so. I'm not as bad as some others I know, and I have done some good things, so maybe I will make it. What does the scripture say people have to do so that they can know for sure that their sins are forgiven and they are going to heaven? The answer to that question is summarized in John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible. That verse says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. In this verse, heaven is everlasting life. Actually, everlasting life starts now and extends into eternity. It is divine life. It is God's life imparted into us. It is a spiritual life. It starts when we establish a relationship with him. The question is, do you know for sure that you have eternal life? Do you know for sure that you are going to heaven? You might ask, how can I know? Let me answer that with four simple statements, all taken right out of the Bible. I will give you the verses as we go through this, and if you have a copy of the scripture handy, you might even look them up. The first is in Romans 3:23. That verse says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I were to ask you, if you were a sinner, what would you say? Well, this verse says, all of us are guilty. That includes me, and yes, that includes you. But what does that mean? There's another verse in the Bible that says, sin is lawlessness. It's in the little book of 1 John, chapter 3. That means that sin is breaking God's law. For example, the Ten Commandments, God's law says, thou shalt not covet. And we've broken that, haven't we? The Ten Commandments say that we should not bear false witness. And we've broken that one too. It says that we should not steal. And many have done that. But if perhaps you can make it past those, all of us stop short when we hear that the first commandment, and the greatest of all, is that we should have no other gods before him. And who of us can say that God has been first in our lives all of our lives? None of us. And that's what the Bible means when it says all of us have sinned. We've broken God's law. Now, anytime you break a law, there is a penalty. Which leads me to the second statement. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Now, wages is what we earn. The wages of work is money. The wages of sin is death. What does that mean? Well, in the Bible, there are several different kinds of death, but all the kinds involve some kind of a separation. If I were to die physically now, my body would slump to the floor, but the real me, the soul, would separate from the body and go someplace else. We call that physical death. But when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's more than physical death, it's spiritual death, which again is separation. But this time, it's the separation of the soul from God. So to say it all very simply, the penalty of sinning against God is separation from God. We have broken his law, and he says the penalty for that is to be separated from him. Now, actually, we understand that as a concept of justice. We have a similar situation in our government. The government has laws, and if we break one of those laws, one of those serious laws, then we are separated from society in a place called jail. And that's the concept of justice. Now, that sounds like bad news, doesn't it? And frankly, it is. However, I have some good news for you, and that takes me to the third statement I want us to look at. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The third statement is simply this: Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. Let's review for just a second. I've said three things so far. Number one, we've all sinned. That includes me, and that includes you. Number two, the penalty of that sin is death, separation from God. And the third statement is, the good news is, Jesus Christ, God's Son, died in our place to pay for our sin. And 3 days later, arose from the dead. You see, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has provided the solution to the sin problem. He has provided the solution for that which separates us from him. The penalty of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died. He paid the penalty, which means, simply put, we don't have to pay it. A number of years ago, many years ago, as a matter of fact, I was driving late one night, and I crossed the state line, and not being aware of it, I entered into a speed zone that was a lot less than the state I had just come out of, and would you know, there was a speed trap, and I was stopped and given a ticket for speeding. Now, back in those days, you had to pay the fine if you were out of state, and I was. You couldn't give them a check, and they wouldn't take a credit card, so I found myself before the judge. Now, let's suppose that you had been with me, and I was before that judge and didn't have enough money to pay the ticket, which meant that I would go to jail. And let's suppose that just for some reason, out of the goodness of your heart, you offered to pay my fine. If you did that, I wouldn't have to go to jail. You paid the debt, the penalty, the fine, and I would not have to pay it. Now, that simple illustration is precisely what the Bible is telling us Jesus Christ did for us. A moment ago, I quoted the verse that says, God commended his love toward us. He loved us. That's why he did this. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place and pay for our sin. That means you don't have to pay, my friend. That means you can have the gift of eternal life. A moment ago, I quoted Romans 6:23 that says the wages of sin is death. The rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Christ paid, God is willing to give you the gift of eternal life. I can just imagine you thinking, all right, Mike, but what do I have to do to get the gift? And that takes me to the fourth statement I'd like to share with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The fourth statement is simply this: those who trust Jesus Christ are given the gift of eternal life. At the beginning, I quoted one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible, John 3:16. It says, God loved you, he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I've now quoted Ephesians 2:8 that says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The word believe in John 3:16 is a verb. The word faith in Ephesians 2:8 is a noun. In the Greek text, which the New Testament was written in originally, those are the same words. One's a noun, one's a verb. And they both mean to trust, to rely on, to depend on. So when I say those who trust in Jesus Christ are given the gift of eternal life, what I mean is this. The Bible is teaching that if you depend on Christ, and specifically his payment for your sin, in order to get you to heaven, God will give you the gift of eternal life. If I were to ask you if you believe in Jesus Christ, you would probably tell me yes. You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he died on a cross and that he arose from the dead. Those last two things are nothing more than Good Friday and Easter. The question is, not do you believe the facts about Christ, but are you trusting in Jesus Christ for the gift of eternal life? Are you depending on Christ and his payment for your sin to get you to heaven instead of something you've done? Remember Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And verse 9 goes on to say, and not of works, because then we would boast. So, all you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ. Not just believe things about him, but depend on him to get you to heaven. Imagine standing before a chair and looking at it without sitting in it and saying, I believe the chair can hold me up. I believe it has four legs, a back, and a bottom, but you'd still be standing. There's a difference between believing and trusting. Trusting is depending on the chair, sitting in it, resting in it, relying on it to keep you off the floor. In a similar fashion, most in this country believe the facts about Jesus Christ. What they've never done is trust him, depend on him, rely on him to get them to heaven. So, if you've never done that, could I invite you to trust Jesus Christ right now? Say, Mike, how do I do that? It's very simple. Just simply bow your head and tell God, number one, I've sinned. Why don't you do that right now? Go ahead, bow your head and just say in your heart to God, I admit to you I've sinned. You don't have to list all the sins or name them. He knows them. Just admit that you've sinned. And then tell God, I believe Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin, and that he arose from the dead. Go ahead. Take a moment. Just say in your heart to God, yes, I believe Jesus Christ did die and pay for my sin and arose from the dead. And then simply say, I want to trust Jesus Christ to save me right now. May I repeat that? In your heart, say to God, I want to trust your son and his death on the cross to get me to heaven. Now, according to the scripture, when you do that, you have eternal life. Remember the verse we started with? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse says, if you believe, you have everlasting life. And by the way, the Bible says you can know. It's not presumption on our part. 1 John 5:13 says, these are written that you might know that you have eternal life. These are written to those who believe. That's the key. If you believe, you can know that you have eternal life. Now, I'm sure that you probably have some questions. You might have questions about who I am or some questions about my church. You may even have some questions about some things I've said on this tape. Then I would suggest that you, if you would like to, the phone number is on the front of this tape. You can give us a call. Or also, we have a website. You might just simply go to www.linleychurch, that's all one word, LINDLEYCHURCH.com. And there you'll find my bio and some things about the church that I pastor in Tarzana, California. If you have questions and contact me, I will do everything I possibly can to answer those questions. And you're under no obligation of any kind to me. Thank you for taking some of your valuable time to listen to this discussion of what I consider to be the most important question you will ever answer.